Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. You know not what we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him, because Jesus Christ is the spirit of truth. And so throughout time, Jesus continues to pour out the truth. Amen. We're living in a time of truth. Amen. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Hallelujah. The next scripture that Jesus led us to is John 3. We're backing up just one chapter. John 3. We're going to start in line 12. Amen. Let me know if you need a second to get there. Amen. If you're already there, just say amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, John 3, starting in line 12. If I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heavens. So all that the New Age stuff about ascended masters and other gods and all that stuff and reincarnation, it does not exist. Jesus says right here, and no man have ascended up to heaven but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. And what Jesus is talking about is in the story of the Exodus, amen. The Israelites were caught up with the Moabite women, and there's a plague was sent on the Israelites. And God told Moses to construct, make a rod, an iron rod, and put upon it, construct a bronze serpent. And whosoever looked on that serpent would be cured of their bites from the snakes, because people were dying in the thousands when they got and they were getting bit and they were being buried every day. Amen. And so anybody who looked at that snake, if they got bit, if they looked at it, they would be cured and healed in the same way. This is what happened. Amen. This is what happens with us when we look upon Jesus, when we look to him, he heals us from our sins. He forgives us from our sins. Amen. And so the next scripture that Jesus led us to, amen, is I'm sorry, we skipped one line. And Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. Amen. And he's not talking about regular death. He's talking about the second death. Okay. Those who are thrown to the lake of fire suffer the second death. Amen. He's talking about living forever and having, being resurrected. Amen. And living forever in the 1,000 years of peace and going into the heavenly kingdom. Amen. The New Jerusalem. Amen. Hallelujah. So Jesus led us up a little bit, just up to John 6. Amen. John 6. So he's saying, I have told you earthly things. If you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? Heavenly things, like which Sister Brenda shared earlier, prophecy. Amen. The things that Jesus speaks to us about, the things that are below the word that we see when we first read it, but the prophetic word, heavenly things, things that Jesus is pouring out, healing, miracles, supernatural miracles and wonders, prophecies that are being fulfilled in the world. Amen. This is the literal job description that Jesus has put on the prophets. Amen. John 6, Jesus led us to John 6, and we're going to start right in line 48. Amen. So these are the heavenly things, amen, that Jesus is pouring out. This is why it's called prophets, prophecy, spirit, and truth. Amen. Hallelujah. So John 6, we're going to start right in line 48. That's where Jesus led us to. Amen. It says, I am that bread of life. Jesus says, your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? So sometimes Jesus tells us certain things as children of God, as prophets, as those who are called. Amen. And Jesus said that many are called, but few are chosen. The reason why is because sometimes Jesus tells us things that we just don't understand, or takes a while for it to unfold. Amen. And we've all experienced this. And so the Jews did not understand what he was saying, and they argued among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh? They didn't understand. It was hard for them to understand what he was saying. They couldn't see through his words. Amen. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Amen. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood and dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Amen. So he was near his hometown in Galilee, in Capernaum, teaching these things in the synagogue. This was really hard. You know, this would have stumped us back in the day. But I would have went back to these scriptures and studied my butt off trying to understand what he was saying. Amen. Because he caught people dumbstruck. They were dumbstruck off of this. Amen. Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is an hard saying, who can hear it? So you have people that are going to doubt you, that are going to walk away, and they're not going to understand. The only thing that's going to give them understanding is time, because Jesus uses time to bring understanding to our minds, to our hearts. Okay. Amen. He opens up those doors of our minds and our hearts. Amen. He said, those who have ears to hear, let them hear it. Amen. This is a hard saying. Amen. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto him, does this offend you? So they gossiped about it. They talked about it amongst themselves, not understanding what he was saying. Amen. He said, does this offend you? What? And if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? Is it the spirit that quickeneth? The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So we have spirit and truth, and now we have spirit and life. True life, which he's saying, is in the spirit and not in the flesh. Amen. But there are some of you that believe not, because they're trying to understand by their flesh, by their own understanding. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who would betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except that were given unto him of my Father. From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will you also go away? When Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. So Peter understood. Amen. Peter understood. Many left. And so Jesus is asking us, who will believe the word of God? Who will believe the signs that he is pouring out? Who will believe the miracles? Amen. Some of these things that Jesus said that he would do, and we read in the scripture, and first, especially in the New Testament, and Jesus performed his miracles. He said that some of these things weren't even done and didn't even happen because people were hurt, or they were born this way, but it was simply for the glory of the kingdom, for the glory of God, for the glory of Jesus himself, to perform the miracles, for it to be done. Amen. It wasn't because somebody woke up from their and they were born with a birth defect. Amen. It was just simply for the glory, for his glory. Jesus put that in their lives so he could perform a great miracles and bring more people to him and draw more people to him. Amen. So the next scripture that we're going to go to is 1 Thessalonians 5. Jesus said that no prophet is welcome in his own hometown. Okay, prophets, prophecy, spirit, and truth. Amen. And sometimes it takes a while for the truth to unfold, for the truth to be revealed. Jesus said that everything that is whispered in the ear will be shouted from the housetops. Everything that is done in the dark will be brought to the light. Amen. So Jesus led us to 1 Thessalonians 5. And we're going to start right at line 1. Amen. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. This is what we're looking at. The day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night. So quick. So unexpected. This is what we're looking at. We're looking at this day right in the face right now. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Remember, Jesus talked about the birth pangs. But you brethren are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Amen. Mr. Ben talked a little bit about this earlier. We you know, the world looks like this, and they're you know, like what Jesus says in Luke 21 about men's hearts failing them for the things that are coming on the earth. But we look at it and we rejoice. But you brethren are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. You are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Let us watch and keep our minds clean. Let us continue to watch as the watchmen, like what we read in Ezekiel a couple of sermons back. Amen. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. Amen. That's the nature of sin. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. Amen. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Amen. And so there's a time that some people are sleeping. The prophets are speaking. The children of God are speaking. And there are some people that are not going to hear, but they may hear in time. Amen. And so right now, there are some people who are still sleeping, but Jesus says that we're children of the day. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah, exactly. They want to hide their sins in the darkness by doing their sin at night. That's why we have nightlife. We have all these things. Sin is done in the darkness and in the dimness and the veil of night. Amen. But Jesus said we are children. Matthew 4:14. Amen. Amen. Matthew 4, line 14. Amen. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet. saying the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. Amen. The sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness, okay, because the land of Galilee was known as the of the Gentiles. Amen. This is also where the northern kingdom was located. Remember the northern kingdom. You had Jeroboam, who led Israel into idolatry. Okay, and so the kingdom was split. Judah went down to the south, and Israel stayed in the north. Okay, so you had a lot of idolatry, and you had a lot of Gentiles also migrating to the area. Also, the northern tribes, right, the northern 10 tribes, because you had three tribes down in Judah, Levi, Benjamin, and Judah, okay, amen, which were taken captive to Babylon. The northern tribes were taken captive to Syria, to Assyria. When they came back, and while they were there in that area, some of them also were considered Gentiles as well. So it says here, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, that's two of the tribes of Israel, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. This is where Jesus was from, the area of Galilee. This is where he grew up at, okay? Amen. He wasn't born there, but this is where he grew up at. The people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Amen. Hallelujah. Bear with me for just a second. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So a great light has sprung up. This is the same light. We are children of the day, and we're children after our Father, Jesus, who is the light. He is the light. You know, we sing that song, This Little Light of Mine. Amen. Okay, amen. Amen. Is that right? Bear with me just a second here. Amen. All right. All right. Amen. All right. Sorry, I had the wrong scripture there. All right, Matthew 4:14. Jesus led us to something else that he wanted me to include here. Amen. So Matthew 5:14 was the right scripture. Jesus wants us to read 4:14. Amen. So we're going to read Matthew 5:14 now. That's where Jesus led us to. Amen. It says, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid, because it's so bright. It's so noticeable. It's so notable that it cannot be hid. Amen. In the same way, Jesus is saying that our example, our light cannot be hid. We're coming to a time where our light is not going to be able to be hid. People are going to see it. It's going to be apparent. It's going to be so much darkness and suffering. Jesus says, man's going to, hearts are going to be failing them for the things that are coming on the earth. Amen. Russia is moving closer and closer to this prophecy that Jesus spoke to us about. Russia is, and America is moving closer and closer into these judgments. And we're seeing sign after sign every single week. Amen. The wickedness of men, the wickedness of these scientists, what the things that they're trying to do. Amen. They worship the works of their own hands. So Jesus saying, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Amen. The same way when Jesus restores Jerusalem and restores us as a people and as a nation and as a church, as a body, as a multitude, and puts us into the 1,000 years of peace, the light that is there is going to be so bright that everyone is going to want to flock there. Amen. Just like Jerusalem was in the past. And of course, going into the new heaven and new earth, the new Jerusalem is going to be even more so. Amen. So it's twofold. It's past, present, and future. Amen. So the next scripture that Jesus led us to is a corresponding scripture. Amen. It's a corresponding scripture. Amen. It is Isaiah 30, line 17, or what's otherwise known as a precept. Amen. So this precept is in Isaiah 30, line 17. Let me know if you guys need a second to get there. Am I moving too fast for anybody? Amen.
You good, Daryl?
Okay, amen. So Isaiah 30, line 17. 1,000 shall flee at the rebuke of one, at the rebuke of five shall ye flee, till you be left as a beacon upon the top of a mountain and as an ensign on a hill. Amen. And so Jesus said in the last days that there would be an ensign. There will be a sign. And that sign is the light that comes from the kingdom. His light that shines through us. His spirit that shines through us. Amen. That's part of the sign. Amen. The next scripture that Jesus led us to is Isaiah 17. So just back just a few chapters. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's the end sign. Amen. When you read a lot about the end sign. Jesus put a lot about the end sign in Isaiah and in Ezekiel. Amen. We can read more about that. Amen. So Jesus led us to Isaiah 17. We're going to start in line 20. Amen. Was that right? Amen.
No 20.
Isaiah 17. I'm sorry, that's the wrong scripture. Amen. So we're going to go to Isaiah 17, line 12. Amen. Woe to the multitude of many people, which make a noise like the noise of the seas, and to the rushing of nations that make a rushing like the rushing of mighty waters. He's saying woe to that multitude because they're assembling together for the wrong reasons. They're not assembling together for Jesus. Amen. We see all these crowds that gathered together for this eclipse. It wasn't something to be celebrated. It's a time of mourning and prayer and sackcloth, like what we read in Joel 3. Amen. So Jesus saying, woe to the multitude of many people which make a noise like the noise of the seas, and to the rushing of nations that make a rushing like the rushing of mighty waters. Amen. Because they're celebrating wickedness. Jesus has nothing to do with it. He's nowhere to be found in the midst of these things. It's just like when the people, when Moses came down the mountain with Aaron, and he was when he came down the mountain, not with Aaron, but with
Joshua.
With Joshua, amen. And so when he came down with Joshua, amen, he said that he hears a sound of celebration, a sound of war. But he said, no, it's not the sound of war, amen, but this is the sound of a celebration, of revelry, amen. And so this, what he's saying is here, woe to the multitude of people which make a noise like the noise of the seas, and to the rushing of nations to make a rushing like the rushing of mighty waters. Amen. The nations shall rush like the rushing of many waters, but God shall rebuke them. Okay. Amen. Because they're coming, not only because they are celebrating something, they are involving themselves in sin, but he's also talking about the people that gather themselves together to Jerusalem to make war with the Lord, with Jesus. But God shall rebuke them, and they shall flee far off, and shall be chased as the chaff of the mountains before the wind, and like a rolling thing before the whirlwind. And behold, at evening tide trouble, and before the morning he is not. This is the portion of them that spoil us, and the lot of them that rob us. Amen. Because they have ignored things of the kingdom. They have ignored Jesus. Amen. And so now, amen, we are staring at the day of the Lord. Again, we are staring at the day of the Lord. And Jesus wants us to know that it has gotten to the point of an unbearable point of overtaxing, of overspending, like what we were talking about last time about the Exodus, that it got to an unbearable point. And when it gets to the unbearable point, amen, where the work is increased, the taxes are increased, the price of things are increased, where the people are overworked, Jesus sends prophets in to speak of what's to come, that he is coming, that he is on his way. He sends his ambassadors. He says people before him to say that he is coming, like how he sent John the Baptist. Amen. But some people won't believe it. Amen. But it doesn't take away the truth, the spirit and the truth of it. Okay, so Jesus took us up to Isaiah 18, and we're going to start, we're just going to read line 7. Amen. In that time shall the present be brought unto the Lord of hosts of a people. Okay, the people, the true children of Israel are going to be brought to Jesus. And it says, who they are is a people scattered and peeled, and from a people terrible from their beginning hitherto, from their beginning hitherto, a nation meted out and trodden underfoot, so divided and trodden underfoot, whose land the rivers have spoiled, and to the place of the name of the Lord of hosts, the Mount Zion, which is a wilderness. Okay, Israel right now is a wilderness, but Jesus is going to restore. We read it in the last sermon. Amen. So Jesus led us back to Exodus 6. Amen. And this is what we're staring at. We're staring at the day of the Lord. We're staring at within that day of the Lord, and before and during, we're looking at a second Exodus, another Exodus. Amen. And so that's why Jesus has us focused on this, because we're seeing the plagues playing out right now. Amen. And so Jesus led us to Exodus 6. If you need a second to get there, let me know. If you're already there, just say amen.
Amen.
And so we read the story of Moses. We see all of these things. We see the prophets, the prophet, the prophecy, the spirit, and the truth. And we see doubt. Amen. Once things get hard, and that's also something that's going to happen, and that it has happened. Amen. Because not everybody is willing to uproot their life to do certain things. That's why Jesus said that whoever follows me must leave houses, brethren, mother and father, sister, amen, and come follow me. And he says they're going to forsake it. Amen. So this is the walk of faith. Amen. So Jesus led us to Exodus 6. Amen. Then the Lord said unto Moses, now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh, for with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land. And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord, and I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. In Hebrew, God Almighty, amen, is El Shaddai. Okay, El Shaddai. Okay, God Almighty, El Shaddai. Amen. Okay, but by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. Jehovah or Yahuwah or Yah. Okay, this is what we hear in the reggae music. Amen. Or Jah. Amen. All these things are interrelated, and there's a reason why do we see these things. But by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. Line 4. And I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. And I have also heard the groanings of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage. And I have remembered my covenant. He says the Egyptians keep in bondage. Right now, we're being kept in bondage. Just like what we read in the last sermon about them not being able to go and worship the Lord. Amen. We've gotten to the point where there's so much work being done that you will be made to feel guilty for spending time on Saturday and Sunday praising the Lord, in fellowship, reading your word, praying to Jesus. Amen. And that's not right. That is gotten to a point of sin that line should have never been crossed. Amen. So when that happens, when it gets to an unbearable point like that, that's when the Lord starts to move. That's why we're seeing these things. That's why we're seeing the Luke 21 prophecies coming to pass, and the prophecies literally being fulfilled. Amen. So it says, I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant. We live in modern day Egypt. Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, amen, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. With great judgments. What we're seeing right now in the earth are great judgments. Amen. And I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will bring you in unto the land concerning the which I did swear to give it to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And I will give it you for an heritage. I am the Lord. And Moses spake so unto the children of Israel, but they hearkened not unto Moses for anguish of spirit and for cruel bondage. Amen. Amen. Sorry about that. Amen. I will bring you out. I will bring you unto a land concerning that which I did swear to give it to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and I will give it to you for an heritage. I am the Lord. And Moses spake so unto the children of Israel, but they hearkened not unto Moses for anguish of spirit and for cruel bondage. Amen. For anguish of spirit and for cruel bondage. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, go and speak unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, that he let the children of Israel go out of his land. Amen. So he put more burdens upon them, more work upon them. He made the Pharaoh made their work harder. Amen. In the same way that these presidents, these governors, and these mayors make these laws harder for us. Amen. The more that we try to dedicate, and we are dedicating ourselves more to Jesus, and more wickedness is passed, and more stumbling blocks and and preventative measures are put up for us to worship, amen, and to follow the laws of God, amen. Go and speak unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, that he let the children of Israel go out of his land. And Moses spake before the Lord, saying, behold, the children of Israel have not hearkened unto me. How then shall Pharaoh hear me, who am of uncircumcised lips? Amen. So Moses is doubting himself. Amen. Because of what the children of Israel are doing, they are complaining to him. Amen. And so we literally face the same things that it just gets so hard. Amen. And we literally have the American government who are on literally on Resurrection Day during the Passover season, which is interrelated with the resurrection. Because remember, Jesus, when he was being crucified and before the crucifixion, they were celebrating the Passover. Amen. They had the government decided to make what was it a day of what was it conversion day, national conversion day, for people to acknowledge their conversion from one sex to the other sex. If they were a man and became a woman, or came and they were a man, or they were a woman, they became a man. So there was a day of celebration of that, of converting over.
Do you mean on Easter when that happened?
Was that what it was?
It was on Easter, yeah. That happened on Easter. Okay. That's what you're talking about.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. March 31st.
So these are the things that we're looking at, and literally passing wickedness. Amen. Which actually happened to the Lord himself, rather than passing laws and creating events that are wrapped around Jesus and the things of the kingdom. Amen. And so Moses spake before, line 12, and Moses spake before the Lord, saying, behold, the children of Israel have not hearkened unto me. How then shall Pharaoh hear me, who am of uncircumcised lips? And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, and gave them a charge unto the children of Israel and unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. These be the heads of their fathers' houses, the sons of Reuben, the firstborn of Israel, Hanok and Palu, Hezron and Carmi. These be the families of Reuben, and the sons of Simeon, Jemuel and Jamin and Ohad and Jachin and Zohar and Shual, the son of a Canaanitish woman. These are the families of Simeon, and these are the names of the sons of Levi according to their generations, Gershon and Kohath and Merari. The years of the life of Levi were 137 years. The sons of Gershon, Libni and Shimi, according to their families, and the sons of Kohath, Amram and Izhar and Hebron and Uziel. And the years of the life of Kohath were 133 years. And the sons of Merari, Mahali and Mushi, these are the families of Levi according to their generations. And Amram took him Jochebed, his father's sister, to wife, and she bare him Aaron and Moses. And the years of the life of Amram were 137 years. And the sons of Izhar, Korah and Nepheg and Zikri, and the sons of Uziel, Mishael, Elzaphan and Zithri. And Aaron took him Elisheba, the daughter of Aminadab, sister of Nashon, the wife, and she bare him Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar, and the sons of Korah, Issir, and Elkanah, and Abiasaph. These are the families of the Korahites. And the Eleazar, Aaron's son, took him one of the daughters of Putiel to wife, and she bare him Phinehas. And these are the heads of the fathers of the Levites according to their families. These are that Aaron and Moses, to whom the Lord said, bring out the children of Israel from the land of Egypt according to their armies. Amen. He says armies, according to their armies. These are they which spake to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to bring out the children of Israel from Egypt. These are that Moses and Aaron. And it came to pass on the day when the Lord spake unto Moses in the land of Egypt, that the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I am the Lord. Speak thou unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, all that I say unto thee. And Moses said before the Lord, behold, I am of uncircumcised lips, and how shall Pharaoh hearken unto me? So Moses still doubting his ability. Jesus saying, I'm going to put the words in your mouth. I am the Lord. Speak thou unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, all that I say unto thee. He's saying, I'm going to tell you what to say. Amen. So Jesus led us right into Exodus 7. And the Lord said unto Moses, see, I have made thee a God to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet. thou shalt speak all that I command thee, and Aaron thy brother shall speak unto Pharaoh, that he send the children of Israel out of his land. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. He is multiplying his signs and his wonders right now in modern day Egypt and America itself. But it says right here in line 4, but Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that I may lay my hand upon Egypt and bring forth mine armies and my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great judgments. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I stretch forth mine hand upon Egypt and bring out the children of Israel from among them. And Moses and Aaron did as the Lord commanded them. So did they. And Moses was fourscore years old, and Aaron 63 years old when they spake unto Pharaoh. Okay, they were both 80 and 83 years old. And the Lord spake unto Moses, amen, and unto Aaron, saying, when Pharaoh shall speak unto you, saying, show a miracle for you, then you shall say unto Aaron, take thy rod, and cast it before Pharaoh, and it shall become a serpent. And Moses and Aaron went in unto Pharaoh, and they did so as the Lord had commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. Then Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers, now the magicians of Egypt, and they also did in like manner with their enchantments, with the witchcraft that they did it. Amen. So they did it with witchcraft. Moses and Aaron did it by the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Jesus. Amen. And then these wise men, these sorcerers who practice witchcraft, did it by demonic spirit, by the spirit of Satan. For they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods, and he hardened Pharaoh's heart, that he hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said. Amen. So it proves right there that the Spirit of the Lord is the true power. Amen. And the Lord said unto Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hardened. He refused to let the people go. Get thee unto Pharaoh in the morning. Lo, he goeth out unto the water, and thou shalt stand by the river's brink against he come. And the rod which was turned to a serpent shalt thou take in thine hand, and thou shalt say unto him, the Lord God of the Hebrews have sent me unto thee, saying, let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness. And behold, hitherto thou wouldest not hear. Thus saith the Lord, in this thou shalt know that I am the Lord. Behold, I will smite with the rod that is in mine hand upon the waters which are in the river, and they shall be turned to blood. And the fish that is in the river shall die, and the river shall stink, and the Egyptians shall loathe to drink of the water of the river. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, say unto Aaron, take thy rod, stretch out thine hand upon the waters of Egypt, upon their streams, upon their rivers, and upon their ponds, and upon all their pools of water, that they may become blood. So the pools of water, the rivers and streams, and the ponds and the pools of water, that they may become blood, that there may be blood throughout all the land of Egypt, both in vessels of wood and vessels of stone. So in the cups, in the pots, in all the vessels that they drank out of, it's turned to blood. Amen. And Moses and Aaron did so, amen, as the Lord commanded, he lifted up the rod and smote the waters that were in the river, in the sight of Pharaoh and in the sight of his servants. And all the waters that were in the river were turned to blood. And the fish that was in the river died, and the river stank. And the Egyptians could not drink of the water of the river. And there was blood throughout all the land of Egypt. And the magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantments. They did the same thing. And Pharaoh's heart was hard, neither did he hearken unto them as the Lord had said. And Pharaoh turned and went into his house, neither did he set his heart to this also. And also the Egyptians digged round about the river for water to drink, for they could not drink of the water of the river. And 7 days were fulfilled. After that, the Lord had smitten the river. So they tried to dig around the river. Amen. And but they couldn't find any fresh water. Amen. So Jesus took us right into Exodus 8. And the Lord spake unto Moses, go unto Pharaoh and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, let my people go that they may serve me. And if thou refuse to let them go, behold, I will smite all thy borders with frogs. And the river shall bring forth frogs abundantly, which shall go up and come into thine house and into thy bedchamber and upon thy bed and into the house of thy servants. And upon thy people, and into thine ovens, and into thy kneading troughs. And the frogs shall come up both on thee, and upon thy people, and upon all thy servants. And the Lord spake unto Moses, say unto Aaron, stretch forth thine hand with thy rod over the streams, and over the rivers, and over the ponds, and cause frogs to come up upon the land of Egypt. And Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up, and covered the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with their enchantments, brought up frogs out of the land of Egypt. So these magicians, these sorcerers, did the same thing with their witchcraft, with demonic witchcraft. They did the same. They tried to do the same thing. And they did this time. They succeeded both of these times in what seems as though it's more of a... mimicking. Amen. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, entreat the Lord, or pray to the Lord, that he may take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go, that they may do sacrifice unto the Lord. And Moses said unto Pharaoh, glory over me. When shall I entreat for thee and for thy servants and for thy people to destroy the frogs from thee and thy houses, that they may remain in the river only? And he said, tomorrow. And he said, be it according to thy word, that thou mayest know that there is none like unto the Lord our God. So he said, tomorrow. So they actually suffered through a whole nother night of those frogs. And the frogs shall depart from thee and from thy houses and from the amen and from thy servants and from thy people. They shall remain in the river only. And Moses and Aaron went out from Pharaoh, and Moses cried unto the Lord because of the frog which he had brought against Pharaoh. And the Lord did according to the word of Moses. And the frogs died out of the houses, out of the villages, and out of the fields. And they gathered them together upon heaps, and the land stank. But when Pharaoh saw that there was respite, he hardened his heart and hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said. So when he saw the suffering of the people, because he brought the frogs away, but they died where they were. Amen. And the Lord said unto Moses, say unto Aaron, stretch out thy rod and smite the dust of the land, that it may become lice throughout all the land of Egypt. Jesus was very hard on Egypt. And it's going to be the same way here. And they did so. Amen. For Aaron stretched out his hand with his rod and smote the dust of the earth, and it became lice in man and in beast. All the dust of the land became lice throughout all the land of Egypt. And now Jesus, he points this out, that now there's a difference of what's going on. And the magicians did so with their enchantments to bring forth lice, but they could not. So there were lice upon man and upon beast. Then the magicians said unto Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. Those people who practice witchcraft and believe in all these demonic Egyptian gods now are saying this is the finger of God. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he hearkened not unto them as the Lord had said. So they can no longer mimic and copy what Jesus was doing. And they realized that what they were doing was futile, that it had no power. Amen. And the Lord said unto Moses, rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh. Lo, he cometh forth to the water, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, let my people go that they may serve me. So there's a big difference, and we're about to read about it now. Amen. With everything that proceeds from this point. Line 21, else if you will not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies upon thee and upon thy servants and upon thy people. And into thy houses, and the houses of the Egyptians shall be full of swarms of flies, and also the ground wherein they are. And I will sever in that day the land of Goshen, amen, in which my people dwell. So the Hebrews, the Israelites, lived in a place called Goshen. And if you remember the story of Joseph, that's where Joseph and his brothers and all of their family settled at, the land of Goshen, which back then it was a plentiful land, and it fell into which became like a ghetto. Amen. We're going to look at this. And I will sever in that day the land of Goshen in which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there. So the Israelites lived there, to the end that you mayest know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth. And I will put a division. Okay, a difference. Jesus given us a difference as children of God, children of the kingdom. He has given Israel a division. I will put a division between my people and thy people. Tomorrow shall this sign be. It was a sign. And the Lord did so, and there came a grievous swarm of flies into the house of Pharaoh and into the servants' houses and into the all the land of Egypt. The land was corrupted by reason of the swarm of flies. Amen. But he's saying here, he's going to sever, he's going to separate, sanctify, set apart Goshen. Amen. We're going to take a quick look just very briefly at Goshen, then we're going to come back to it at the end of this chapter. Amen. Goshen was considered a ghetto. Goshen was very similar to the Brazilian and the South American favelas, which are like super ghettos. Amen. We're going to take a quick look at this. Amen. What these favelas, what Goshen was like. Amen. Goshen was not what became not a very pleasant place to live. Amen. But the Israelites, the Hebrews, made it their home. Amen. It became not a pleasant place later on. Amen. Amen. So I'm going to show you guys this very briefly. Amen. Amen. Oops. All right. If you guys remember, in the movie, The Prince of Egypt showed this this example. Amen. We're going to look at this real quick. And where they got that from actually was archaeological evidence of this. Amen. They researched these places, and they recreated imagery from these places. And this is where it came from. Amen. And so this is what Goshen looked like. Can you guys see that? Oops. Can you guys see that?
Amen.
This is what Goshen looked like. The hood. Ghetto. What happened there? That's what it looked like. You guys can see that.
That's what the ghetto looked like. That's a pretty nice ghetto.
Amen. We're gonna look at some more. You can see, amen.
We sure got some ghettos. Hawaii. Wow.
We're gonna look at another example here. These are the what the. These are what the ghettos look like in what's going on here. This is what they look like in Brazil. They're called favelas. It's taking so long to. Okay, that's not. Oh, here we go. Amen. Oh. Same thing. That's the ghetto. Amen. That's the hood. This is an example of what we're looking at when we're thinking about if we put a picture in our mind of what Goshen was like. Amen. So it says that I will sever in that day the land of Goshen, which my people dwell, where they live. This is where the Israelites lived. Amen. So let's go down to line 25. Amen. And Pharaoh called for Moses and for Aaron and said, go, you sacrifice to your God in the land. And Moses said, it is not meet for so to do, for we shall sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians to the Lord our God. Lo, we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians before their eyes, and will they not stone us? We will go 3 days journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God, as he shall command us. So they thought that to the Egyptians, the Hebrews were an abomination. He thought it was abominable for somebody to be a shepherd and to live so simply like that. Amen. So we have also a people. We have Masons. We have the rich and the famous. Well, most of them are Masons who think the same way. Amen. That the people who live this simple life, Christians, are an abomination. Amen. They're dirty and beneath them. Amen. So it's the same thing. Amen. It says, we will go 3 days journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God, and he shall command us. And Pharaoh said, I will let you go that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only you shall not go very far away. Entreat for me. Pray. Amen. For me. He's saying that the Pharaoh's actually asking for prayer. And Moses said, behold, I go out from thee, and I will entreat the Lord that the swarms of flies may depart from Pharaoh and from his servants and from his people tomorrow. Amen. So he's saying this is what the Pharaoh wants. The Pharaoh actually wants prayer for this. Amen. And so, amen. We're going to take a quick look in just a minute of a film. Explains, amen, a little bit about Goshen and this period of time in a little more detail from the archaeological perspective. So it says here, amen, that the swarms of flies may depart from Pharaoh and from his servants and from his people tomorrow, but amen. Bear me 1 second. But let not Pharaoh deal deceitfully anymore, and not letting the people go to sacrifice to the Lord. Amen. And so this is literally what Jesus, what we have come to this point, to sacrifice to the Lord, to sacrifice the praise of our lips to the Lord. This is what Jesus wants us to do. Amen. And this world, this system stands in the way. Amen. Line 30, and Moses went out from Pharaoh and entreated the Lord, and the Lord did according to the word of Moses, and he removed the swarms of flies from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people. There remained not one, and Pharaoh hardened his heart at this time also, neither would he let the people go. So there is a people, amen, that are being oppressed, that are being depressed, that are being suppressed, amen. And the Lord is not happy about these things. Amen. And so we find ourselves, amen, at a turning point, a serious turning point. Amen. And so we're going to take a quick look, we're going to take a very quick look at this, this film, just very briefly. Amen. Amen. It's called Patterns of Evidence. Amen. And we watched a little bit of this before. Amen. I don't think, Sister Brenna, I don't think you got to take a look at this one, but it's very insightful in some of the research that they've done with the scriptures. Amen. To tell the truth of what happened during the Exodus period. Amen. Let me know if you guys can hear this. Amen. Y'all see that? Y'all see that?
No sound, girl.
Nope. You guys hear that?
Nope. No sound.
Can't hear anything?
Nope. You guys hear that? Ooh.
Can you guys hear it now?
No sound. Do people live in that area now?
They do. Can you guys hear that?
No.
Still no sound, Daryl.
Okay, hold on. I don't know how we're gonna do it. Oops. 1 second here. All right. Can you guys hear that?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Lights moving large.
And he doesn't remember Joseph. He enslaves the people because they're becoming too numerous and becoming a threat. So he puts them to work and embitters their lives.
You guys hear that?
Store cities of Pitom and Ramses and yeah. Makes them create bricks out of mud and straw. It was intriguing to see this type of construction in different parts of Egypt. Were any of these bricks molded by the hands of Israelite slaves? However, Mansour was quick to remind me that these types of mud bricks are present throughout Egypt's history and don't prove any connection to the Israelites. But is there any slavery evidence matching the Bible out of ours, the older city beneath Ramesses? David, what does the archaeological record reveal at this location?
We've got a situation of prosperity followed by a lack of prosperity and a shortage of life. We begin to see in the graves of these people caris lines in the bones, which indicate shortage of food and nutrients. These people suddenly become impoverished, and they're dying at an age of typically between 32 and 34 years. So how do we explain that? What is the mechanism that we would understand why these people only lived to such a short age? And the obvious answer is slavery.
The description of slavery was so horrible, downhearted. Take whole people and make from them inhumane group of men working so hard. They wanted to free themselves.
The Bible then tells us that the more the Hebrews were oppressed, the more they multiplied, and the more they spread throughout the land of Egypt. Pharaoh gives the order for all the baby boys who are born to be thrown into the river by the Egyptians. It was during this time Moses is born, and in fear for his life, his mother hides him in a basket. floated among the reeds of the River Nile. But God is watching over baby Moses. And Pharaoh's daughter comes down to bathe in the Nile. She finds him, adopts him, and names him Moses, which means drawn from the water.
Is there anything in Egyptian archaeology that might reflect this biblical detail, the killing of Hebrew infant boys?
At this particular point, we start to see an increase in the number of infant burials at the site. Now, normally in a typical Middle Bronze Age cemetery, we'll get something like 25% of burials of infants. In this particular case, the figure jumps up to an extraordinary figure.
David directed me to the dig reports from Avaris, where BTEC's team referred to what they called an extremely high mortality rate of newborns. When all the children's graves, age 10 and younger, were identified, it was found that nearly 50% died in the first 3 months of life. Okay, maybe this was just an epidemic that hit the newborns especially hard. But when the graves of those who made it to adulthood were examined, it was seen that there were 60% females to 40% males. The reduction appears to have been in the male side of the population. So could this massive increase in infant burials out of ours be evidence for the killing of the male Israelite children? It's an intriguing thought, but it made me sad to think of what it could have meant. The murder of thousands of innocent boys.
For generations, the Exodus story has given hope to people around the world in their quest for liberation. Inspired by the freeing of the slaves from the most powerful nation on earth. But were the hopes and dreams of all those people merely based on a myth? Who would invent a story about our ancestors were slaves? That just, you know, I can see people saying, our ancestors were princes, our ancestors were great merchants, our ancestors were, you know, something wonderful and glorious and noble, but we were slaves. Why? I mean, if you're going to dream up a story, surely you'd come up with a better one than that.
And if none of it happened, how do you explain an Egyptian papyrus with a list of slave names that seemed to come right out of the pages of the Bible?
There's one particular doc.
Stitch Fix, online personal styling straight to your door.
Type an ad on here. One second here.
Is quite amazing. It's called the Brooklyn Papyrus, and this actually is a list of domestic servants from one estate. We have maybe up to 100 people listed as slaves in Egypt. When we look at those names, 70% of them are Semitic names, and you can literally pick up Israelite names in there. Menachem, Issachar, and Asher, the names of two other tribes of Israel. Shifra, one of the Hebrew midwives in the Exodus story, a name that appears in this document. These are Hebrew Israelite slaves, and they're in a papyrus from the 13th dynasty, not from the 19th dynasty, not from the time of Ramesses II in the New Kingdom, but from the 13th dynasty, the Middle Kingdom.
What does this mean to you? What does it say?
This is real.
Amen.
So that's just a little bit on the time period. Amen. Does anybody have any reflections, anything that stood out to you guys from the scriptures? Amen.
No, we don't.
Amen. Miss Rose, you got anything you wanted to share?
No, I was just that one question. What was this? People still living there?
Amen. Yeah, they still live there. There's some people that still do live in those areas. Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. Jesus is pouring out the truth at an alarming rate. Amen. We just have to continue to be ready. Amen. Continue to be children of the day and not as a night, not sleep, but watch soberly. Watch and to pray. Amen. Thank you guys for joining us. Thank y'all for your fellowship. Thank you guys for exploring and searching these scriptures with us. Amen. We love y'all. We'll see y'all on the next sermon. Amen. And we'll be on a hallelujah night tonight as well, too, with Lilac Ministry and Pastor Jimmy. Amen. Blessings, you guys. Everybody have a good night. We love you guys.
Love you, too. Good night. Blessings, everybody.
Blessings.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.